turn to Matthew chapter 5. And let's revisit a text that we've preached from before. Matthew chapter 5, and verse 1. Now when he saw, that is Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Father, we thank you for bringing us through another year. We thank you for the trials and the triumphs. And Father, here we are at the beginning of a new year, and we ask for your blessings upon us this coming year, and we ask that you would give us a prosperous new year. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. We ask God for a prosperous new year. What's the key to a prosperous new year? What's the key, the most important thing to prosperity? Now, every new year, everybody or a lot of people set goals. They make plans, right? And not only goals and plans, excuse me, but the R word. People make New Year's what? Resolutions. They resolve to do this and to do that. And statistics show that most of the resolutions fall to the wayside. But does prosperity have to be something that falls as well? What is the most important key to prosperity? I want to submit to you that the most important key to prosperity is poverty. What? Prosperity and poverty? How can one produce the other? They seem like total opposites. Are they? In God's economy, is poverty opposed and the opposite of prosperity? If we're going to have a prosperous new year, I believe that we must begin with poverty. The first thing that Jesus taught his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount was this in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed now. Happy. And I will add prosperous. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The first thing he emphasized in everything he taught was a spirit of poverty. And I suggest to you in this message today that if you have poverty of spirit, you can have it all. And my message is this: poverty of spirit produces true prosperity. Poverty of spirit produces true prosperity. And I want this to be my goal, because it's God's goal and desire, that I be poor in spirit. Not only in 2013, not only in a new year, but in every year. You want to live a life of prosperity? Then you've got to live a lifestyle of poverty of spirit. Poverty of spirit. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't Jesus come and say that I want you to have life and life more abundantly? I want abundant living. But you have to understand what real life is. You have to understand what real prosperity is. And once you understand that, then you will desire to be poor in spirit. You will seek poverty, for poverty is the doorway to prosperity. Now, you won't hear that preached much. You won't go to a seminar and somebody will tell you, if you want to have a prosperous new year, then you need to be impoverished of spirit. No, you need to pump yourself up. No, we can go out and do this. Here are 7 steps, blah, blah, blah. But Jesus said, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit. Notice, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're poor in spirit, you have the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven is prosperity. True, real, lasting prosperity. But the key, and Jesus is saying to us that those who have a impoverished spirit, they have the kingdom of heaven. And inside the kingdom of heaven is everything. Now again, this is radical. What Jesus was preaching was contrary to the thought of his day. Because the Jewish people and Jewish culture, if you were poor, if you were even sick, you were looked upon as being cursed. Remember the blind man? They wanted to know, who sinned here? This man or his parents? This man was cursed and afflicted, so they equated it with sin. And they equated poverty with sin. To be rich, this means that you were really blessed. But it's not necessarily so. You can have tremendous prosperity and tremendous wealth, but not necessarily be blessed. I submit to you, and I'm going to talk about this later, that if you have prosperity without poverty, it is profitless. Three P's. Prosperity without poverty of spirit is profitless. Is true impoverishment. But if you have poverty of spirit, you can have it all. Maybe not right now, but you will have right now all that is important and most important. But prosperity without poverty of spirit is a curse. But they looked at it differently. They said you were cursed because you were poor. That's how especially the Pharisees looked at it. But Jesus proclaimed, see, we don't get it because we're not in that society. You're blessed if you're poor in spirit. But they didn't get the poor in spirit part. Because they thought that if your spirit was right, then you would have all the prosperity. It's not true. They thought that they were blessed because they were righteous and that theirs was the kingdom. The Pharisee believes the kingdom was theirs. And it belonged to Israel and those who were especially blessed in Israel, like the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, most of them were very well-to-do, very well-to-do. They were the top of their society. And Jesus was speaking spiritually. Why? Because they trusted in their riches. That's the problem with prosperity. Without poverty of spirit, you will trust not in God. You will trust in that which has printed on it, ironically, in God we trust. And it was that way in that day as well. They even looked at the kingdom of God as a material thing. And when Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God, they missed it. They didn't get it because they were looking for a physical, geopolitical kingdom then. He said, no, the kingdom of God is within you. It is an issue of the heart. It is an issue of the spirit to those who trust in God. And Jesus was proclaiming that God works from the inside. His kingdom began on the inside and would grow and take over everything. And I believe that true prosperity starts on the inside with a poor in spirit attitude. Not trusting in yourself. Not trusting in yourself. Poor in spirit means that you are spiritually bankrupt. That you have nothing within yourself to rely on. If you have nothing in yourself to rely on, Jesus says you have the kingdom of God. Because it comes through faith in him. It is not just being poor in spirit, Bankrupt means you don't own anything and you owe everything. Because Jesus, as the song said, paid it all. And all to him I owe. With that attitude, that you bring nothing to God. In fact, you're in debt to him and he paid the price. That's the attitude of those who have the kingdom of God and those who are truly prosperous, those who value that which is lasting, and those who do not trust in themselves. To the degree that you trust in yourself is the degree that you're really, really poor without the kingdom. You know, you can be poor without the kingdom if you trust in yourself and you have it all. And it's interesting, in the book of Luke, I won't turn there, but in chapter 18 and verse 9 of the King James Version, it says Jesus told this parable, and it says, to some who trusted in themselves, who trusted themselves. And then he said, two men went up to the temple to pray. You've heard the parable, a Pharisee and a publican. And it says, the Pharisee prayed unto himself. Oh, God. I thank you that I am not like other men. He was obviously rich. When you listen to his prayer, he was well-to-do. But he trusted in himself. And when you are not poor in spirit, you will tend to trust in yourself. And that is true poverty. Even though you may be wealthy. For the wealth itself cannot fulfill you nor satisfy you. We were made to trust in God. And God's way of doing things, folks, is that he starts out with nothing. Do you know that? God did not create the world or the universe out of some big bang or some spark. He created it out of nothing. The Latin term is ex nihilo. And it means out of nothing. Ex means out of. You see the exit sign, right? That's how you go out. Out of nothing. Nihilo. It is similar to a word you've heard before. Nihilo. Nihilo. To annihilate. To annihilate. That nihilo, that N-I-H-I-L-O. What does annihilate means? What does it mean? To totally and utterly destroy, leaving nothing, which God is going to do with this world, by the way. He is going to annihilate it. God created out of nothing. And God works by creating nothing. To annihilate, to destroy, to render worthless, poor in spirit. God produces prosperity out of nothing. You want a prosperous new year? You got to realize you're nothing. I know that goes counter to popular psychology. But when you realize that God is everything and you are nothing, you put your faith in him, and through that faith, everything opens up to you. The things of God and his promises. God created this world out of nothing, came a lush, rich, verdant, abundant world. Did it not? It says, and God said, let there be, and it was. Out of nothing he created. Every person that God has blessed, every person that God has used, he has brought them to nothing, to poverty of spirit. Look at Job. Job was the richest man in the East, and God took it all away from him and brought him to nothing. And then out of the ashes, less than ashes, God blessed a man. And that man came to see
He says, I look at myself, and he said, and Job 42, he said, Job said, you know, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you, and when I see you, I abhor myself. And I repent in dust and ashes. I realize I'm nothing. And that, guess what God did? God blessed him more than he had in the beginning. Because God can't start with what you have. God only builds on one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. He does the building. We do the trusting. You think of Abraham. You know, Abraham was a rich man. He really was. But God brought him to poverty of spirit because he would have traded all of his riches to have a son. And he could not have one. And when he was old and Sarah was old and as good as dead, God blessed him. And out of that poverty brought prosperity. Same is true with Joseph and Moses. Here's Moses, the prince of Egypt. Walking in the palaces of Pharaoh. Royalty. God took it all from him. He had to flee from it for his life. Into the desert, herding sheep. Nothing. And then out of that nothingness, that burning bush. That's the way it is in every child of God. God makes a new creation. And he's not making it out of your old. And if you want to be truly prosperous in this new year, then we must have a broken spirit, a bankrupt spirit. Lord, I of mine own self can do nothing. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. The question is, why does God create out of nothing? Why does he bring prosperity out of poverty? And the prosperity I speak of is real prosperity in every dimension that you can imagine. And in dimensions that you cannot even imagine yet, for I have not seen nor ear heard of the things that God has prepared for us, for those who love him. There's a city that hath foundations that God is building. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 27. Why does God start with poverty, complete spiritual bankruptcy? Verse 27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not. Nothing. Nihilo. Out of nothing. Why? To nullify, to annihilate the things that are. Because he builds anew out of nothing. Why? Verse 29, so that no one may boast before him. Nobody say, look at me. Nobody will say, look what I've got. Nobody will say, look what I've achieved. No one. Why? For it's all to the glory of God. You were created to glorify God and you were created to do his will. But if you're doing your will and you are doing this to bring glory to yourself, God cannot use you and it will be destroyed. Only what he builds. You bring nothing to the table except the faith that he gives you to trust him, which means a complete surrender. And God breaks us. Not so that he can make us and fix us, but so that he can annihilate and bring real life, real prosperity. For Jesus came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. As I said before, prosperity without poverty of spirit is profitless. Jesus said, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world? What if you were to gain the whole world in 2013 and lose your soul? This is why Jesus also said it's difficult, almost impossible, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you tend to trust in the riches and what you can do. I'm a self-made man. I did build that. If you remember that slogan. You built that. That doesn't work spiritually. That doesn't work with God. Because anything we build, man built, is going to be destroyed. Only what he built, only what's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ will last. Is having riches and prosperity wrong? No, but it can be a curse. If that's what you value, if that's where you seek your self-satisfaction, identity from, if that's what you worship. God gives us good things to enjoy. But in his presence and in a spirit of thanksgiving, and realize that all blessings flow from him. And it's not yours. Hello? It belongs to him. And the Lord giveth, and the Lord takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord, because it's all about that. It's all about him. I think of the Apostle Paul. Prosperous, a leader amongst the Pharisees, blah, blah, very successful. What did God do? He knocked him down. Right? He broke him down completely. Struck him with blindness. And what was Paul's approach as his eyes were open? How did he value? And what did he value? Let's look at it in Philippians chapter 3. So that we might have this attitude of Jesus Christ, for Paul was simply modeling what Jesus did. Jesus came to this earth in poverty. Did you realize that? You ever thought about that? We'll mention that maybe during the offering. But he came and he walked in poverty. And he walked in poverty of spirit. And he asks us to follow in the same way. Look at what Paul talks about. He talks about, I'm sorry, Philippians 4. I said 3. Philippians 4. No, it's 3. I'm sorry. Chapter 3. And he talks about in chapter 3, verse 4. He says, I have many reasons to have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, he says, I have more. I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Look at my heritage. Look at my roots. Hebrew of Hebrews. I just wasn't a Hebrew. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrew. I was the elite. I was of the 2%. In regard to the law, a Pharisee is for zeal persecuting the church, and for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. But watch this. Remember I said that prosperity of any kind, I will say, without poverty of spirit is profitless? Verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, profitless,
I now consider loss poverty of spirit. For the sake of Christ, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Talking about poor? You talk about poverty of spirit? The loss of all things. For Paul understood that through poverty of spirit, one could truly have true and real prosperity. What is more, I consider, I want to read it again, everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Are you there? Are you there? For the loss of all things. Are you there to surrender? Let's introduce the S word. We've had a lot of P words. Prosperity. Poverty. The S word. The S word. Of surrendering everything you have, everything that you are to God. Many, many years ago, it pops in my mind now. Somebody in the church came up to me. This is many, many, many years ago. Many years. And they said, did you realize I'm a blah, blah, blah? And he was talking about their heritage. And I've had all kinds of people, all kinds of heritages, who come up and say, do you realize I'm a blah, blah, blah? And I just looked at him. What do you want me to say? And certainly we should be pleased with whatever heritage God has given us. But Paul said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Circumcised 8th day, fair, blah, blah. He said, I count all of that loss. What do you take pride in? Your education? Your job? Do you glory in that? You kind of get a little high from what you have and what you do. And it's fine to thank God, and we should thank God for what you are and who you are and all by His grace and what you do. But do you get value from that? How much is it worth to you? Let somebody take it away from you. That's how you know if you're valuing it. Let somebody say something about you. You value that? Well, don't you know who I am? Who are you? Jesus made himself of no reputation. Paul said, I counted it all loss. This is what I'm giving you a picture of what poverty of spirit looks like. It means surrendering it all. You know, he didn't have to give it up. He chose to give it up, and that choice was empowered by God. Let's go on. I consider them not only lost of all things, I look at it as rubbish. Trash. You're going to call me trash? No, I'm not calling you trash. I'm saying whatever you take pride in is trash. That's what Paul said, how he looked at it. Do we look at it that way? You look at our lives and the things that pertain to our lives as trash? Why? So that I may gain. In other words, he had poverty of spirit so he could gain. He had loss so he could gain. Do you ever look at it that way? Do you ever look at a loss as a gain? We ought to in our lives. That whatever comes in our lives, whatever causes us pain, we're told to rejoice in it. Why? Because what you are looking at is a temporary loss and a temporary pain, which is rubbish anyway. What's being worked out is gain, real prosperity. How rich are you? I mean, we look at our bank accounts at the end of the year, our IRA, our 401(k), whatever.
What's your net worth? What is your real net worth? Or do we trust in these things?
That I may gain Christ, gaining Him, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, not faith in who you are and what you do and what you have, through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes, notice, from God, not something you produce, not something you make, that comes from God and is by faith, trusting in Him, not yourself. And he said this, I want to know Christ. That's I want that, my balance sheet to show that. Zero in the flesh, that I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sharing in the suffering, in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. God doesn't just want us to surrender it all. He wants us to embrace Christ. He is that which is valuable. And the things of Him, love and peace and joy, the fruits of the Spirit. And to depend on Him. I think that's what John 15 is, Jesus is telling us. Let's turn it very, very briefly. John 15. I believe that's what he's saying. I believe he's saying that you want real life? You want real prosperity? You want to be really profitable? Really fruitful? Then depend on me. John 15 in verse 1. He says, I'm the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it can be even more prosperous. I know it says fruitful, but fruitfulness is prosperity. Every apple tree, most apple trees and grapevines, they are a picture of prosperity. For their prosperity comes from they're abiding in the vine. It is the source. The branches realize that they are poor in spirit and have no source in themselves and no life in themselves. It says in verse, for time's sake, let's skip some things. He says in verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It means depend on. It means to be in an intimate, organic, connected relationship with Christ. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will be very prosperous. He will bear much fruit, not only in 2013, but for eternity. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you are poor. And when we realize that apart from Christ, we are impoverished. We're living in an attitude of being poor in spirit. It means without Him, I can do nothing. I bring nothing to the table. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. The things that you wish, though, will be for the things of God. This is my Father's glory. It's to God's glory. Do you get this? That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It is all to glorify God, not to glorify yourself. I've said many times when I've preached this, you've never seen a branch with fruit hanging on it consuming the fruit. Right? It's for the glory of the tree. It is for others. And that's what Jesus says here in verse 9. As my Father has loved me. And here it gets to what's really valuable. It's the heart of Christianity. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be complete, may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. That means fruitful, bountiful joy. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what it gets down to. God is love. The greatest fruit, the greatest thing, 1 Corinthians tells us, is love. The greatest fruit, the thing that we ought to value this coming year more than anything else, is loving God and loving others. You want to be rich? You want to be prosperous? Then be prosperous and rich and value love as a priority. And realize you cannot do it unless you abide in the vine, because you are spiritually bankrupt. And you've got to surrender your selfish desires. You've got to surrender your will. I would like for us to meditate on something. The words of the song are going to be put up here right now. The song is called I Surrender All. How many of you ever heard that song? But it is done so well, in my opinion anyway. I'll put it this way. I like the way C.C. Winans sings it. She sings it in a very contemplative manner. And I want us to take the next few minutes and listen to this song and contemplate the sermon, poverty of spirit, and how that produces real prosperity. And a person who has poverty of spirit has surrendered all. It's not holding on to anything, but surrendering our lives totally to God. So in light of this message, and in light of our lives, I want us to sort of listen to these words and let God speak to us. And I'll be back.
I will ever love and
All. And I have to examine myself. And I wonder, and I have to wonder, I just know that there's just areas that all doesn't apply to. I want it that way. I know it's God's will. And I know God will take me there. And sometimes there are places we don't want to go. You know those places are. But God, in His gentleness, in His mercy, and His love, will take us there. Well, we have to surrender wholly and totally to Him. You say, but that's scary, Pastor. Trust Him. One of the lines of that song, I will ever love and trust Him. He's good. And He loves us. And He's gone before us, and He's set an example of surrendering all to God. I'm speaking of Jesus as a human being. He surrendered it all to God. And He bids us, come and follow me. Come, take up your cross and follow me. That cross is symbolic of a total surrender, of total poverty. In Jewish culture, and even in the Old Testament, it says cursed, not blessed. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Are you willing to surrender all? Reputation, what people think, no matter what, to God. That's poverty of spirit. And let Him lead you, guide you, as you love Him and trust Him. Father, we ask that You would bless us with a prosperous new year. And that we, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, surrender all to You. Father, we can't do this on our own. We're weak. Not only weak, we're just messed up in so many ways. But we know that You take broken people and You make them brand new. And we trust You to do that in our lives this year. And that we will have a prosperous year of love, joy, and peace through the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for You are our life. Thank You for this abundant life that You offer us. In Jesus' name, amen.